Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Galatians, if you would. And then if you want to go ahead and turn to Revelation 10, because I'm going to deal with something there. It's just good to have everybody in God's house this morning. Where is Galatians? Hang on, I'll find it. It's a new Bible. I don't know where everything is. He said in verse 15, this verse, I mean, just really got my attention. And it just hit me, and I just wanted to preach on it and just wanted to kind of dwell in it. And those of you that know me, I like to find a place in the Bible and just live there for a while until I can get everything I can out of it, and then we'll move on. And this had all started out as I was going to think about doing a series on the book of Galatians. Still might do a sermon series on Galatians. I just can't get out of verse 15 yet. And then we're over here in Revelation 10. I can't get out of that yet either. But there's just so many riches in the Word of God. And to be honest with you, I'm one of these. If I walk by somebody's table in a restaurant and I see food they left on the plate, I'm going, it's still good. That's just me, though. And when I see things that are good out of the Word of God, I want to just pick the bone clean and not leave anything left on there. Amen. But anyway, Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, "When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen." And I want you to think of people now that you know, people that you're surrounded by, people that you care about, people that are lost, and they're heathen. That's what that word applies to. Heathen people are just people, they're Gentiles, they're just people out in the world that are not following God. And you've invited them to church. You've asked them, "Hey, you know what, why don't you come to church with us?" Or, "Hey, why don't you at least pop it on the computer there? You can pull it up and watch us there," or whatever. And they don't want to come. Maybe because the circumstances of this world has put it in everybody's mind that preachers are a bunch of low-life scum that's only wanting money out of everybody, and they're just trying to get in your pocket and all this and that. Maybe that, and you know what? There's a lot of that's true, and I won't deny that. Maybe that at one time they were made to go to church when they were young and they swore they'd never go again. Maybe there's just all kinds of reasons why people don't come to church. But the truth of it is, the reality of it is, they're lost and they're dying and they're going to go to hell. That's the reality to it. And if you cared anything for them, you care anything about them, you want to try to do something that will change their mind or change their heart or whatever, and try to bring them at least to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Alan was telling me about his mom a while ago. And on her deathbed, did I hear you right? And I'm all for that. I think that's kind of a dangerous game for you to play. If you're hoping and wishing that you're going to get saved on your deathbed, you may not get a deathbed. You may not get that opportunity. Okay? When I talked to your dad, he was on his deathbed. He prayed and came to salvation 2 minutes before the doctor told him he had cancer. Okay, that's how God worked that out. And if it has to happen that way, then praise the Lord, because I'm just all about seeing people and go to heaven. And how big my church is, that's up to the Lord. I'm content. But I'd like to see people go to heaven. Every now and then I just think about people dying going to hell, people that I know and people that I love and people I care about. People that you know and that you care about, and I don't want to see them there, and nobody here wants to see anybody go to hell. So, you know, how can we lead them? How can we convince them? How can we talk to them? And people ask me questions like that all the time. You know, I got somebody, they're in this or they're in that, and I don't know how to get to them. I've tried, you know, talking to them, and my answer to them is just give them scriptures. Give them Bible verses. Do you know why? And if you say, well, they won't understand that. Listen, if the Holy Spirit is there, He'll cause them to understand it. That's what I believe about God's Word. I don't believe that I have to kind of give a mishmash of what I want them to hear. Just give them God's Word, and God is the one who'll bring the increase. But if they won't listen to God, they're certainly not going to listen to you. Can I get an amen out of you? And so give them God's Word. And so that's kind of where I've been going with all of this. And He said, to reveal His Son in me. His Son is the Word of God. That's who His Son is. They are not detached from one another. You don't get Jesus without getting the Bible. And you say, well, I know some people that do. No, you don't. You know some people that are playing religion and playing Christianity, but you do not have the real Jesus without His Word. It's not possible. The Bible declares that. And so how can you give them the Word of God so they can be saved? How can that happen? And that's kind of what I've been trying to show you this morning. So we're dealing with how Christ is revealed in the life of someone who's in church or someone who is born again, how Christ is revealed in you to other people. And we've been in Revelation 10. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there, Revelation 10. And John said, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And I want you to think of a story in the Bible where you saw a pillar of fire. See how easy that is? This Bible's easy, okay? Think of a story where there is a pillar of fire, because that does have everything to do with this. It has everything to do with it. And I'm going to show you from the Word of God the connection that God will make in your life. But let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. You pray and ask God to deal with you and to speak to you and to use you so that the people that are around you that need, they've got a dose of religion, they need to be saved so that Christ can be revealed, or God would reveal His Son in you. Heavenly Father, I love You and I thank You, God, for Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for His mercy, His dying on the cross, His resurrection. Dear God, I thank You for the Word of God that shines as a light in a very, very dark place. And I pray, God, Lord, that You would help me to preach this message. Help me, Father, Lord, to do it without apology. Help me to preach it in love. Lord, Father, I pray, God, Lord, that You would make us sober-minded. Lord, that we would give heed to the Word of God, that we'd pay attention to it, God, that we'd listen to it. Lord God, that You'd put enough grace in our life, in our hearts, God, that people could be won to the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, through our lives and our testimony and our walk with You. Lord, we already know, God, that people are watching us. And Lord, I saw in the Bible, dear God, studying this out, God, that there are people who are waiting for us to make a mistake. Lord, I just know and am convinced in my mind and my heart, God, that if people watch me long enough, they will see me fail. They will see me make mistakes. They will see me, God, Lord, as I really am. Not as how I want to present to everybody, but Lord, how I really am. And God, I want for them to be able to see the grace that You have given me. And Lord, God, if anybody's looking at me saying, well, he's good, he's a man of God, he doesn't fail, he doesn't do anything wrong, God, I don't want that. What I want them to see is not me, but You revealed in me. And so, Lord, help me with my wife, because, God, she knows me. And, Lord, I have to be honest in front of her. Help me around my children, God. They know me. And I want to be able to lead my children in the right way. And help, Lord, these people that are around here all the time and they see me. They work with me, God. They come here to church and sit in my office. And Lord, I want to be right in front of them. Because, God, if I walk down a different path, Lord, some of them are liable to follow me down there. And I don't want to do that. And Lord, then these folks that are watching online, God, I have a big responsibility, Lord, to them. And God, I can't do it without you. No way. So Lord, just teach us this lesson, God, and help us, dear God, as we walk through the journey of life. Lord, Father, to ever be careful, Lord, of those steps that we take. Father, bless and honor your word today, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, what story did you come up with? A pillar of fire. What'd you come up with? Huh? Moses and the Israelites coming out of Egypt. Well, you're right. And this, what you saw in Revelation 10, has everything to do. There's a prototype, like a foreshadowing of this happening back in as the Israelites are being led out of Egypt. And the simple thing is that God chose to lead Israel from the bondage of Egypt through the wilderness, which is where probably all of us are right now. We're just in the wilderness. And he led them into the promised land with a... Actually, here's how he did it. And this is what's going to ring true this morning. He led them by day with a pillar of cloud. He led them by night with a pillar of fire. Now, why did God do that? Because in the darkness, you can't see the clouds. It's dark. So, but in the daytime, you see it plainly. You see how God is. And in the daytime, you don't see fire too well either, but you see the cloud. At night, and I know this sounds simple, but it's profound the way God will show this. At night, the only thing they will be able to see is the light of the fire. When you see fire in the Bible, especially when it, like it pertains to God, that fire is a light. That is how we... these lights that we have on in this building, technically, Thomas Edison found out a way to burn those filaments in there without burning them up. You just suck all the oxygen out. So technically, there is a fire in every one of those light bulbs. That sun out there is on what? It's on fire. It is a massive fire, but it's shining and giving us light and heat. I just kind of want you to think along those terms. So why did he say... Number one, in fact, let me read this verse to you in Exodus 13, 21. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. Now, I want you to think about what he's saying. To go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So what he's doing there, he's showing them the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. So he's connecting the two things here. The angel coming down with his feet as pillars of fire, and he's connecting that with the wilderness journey that the people did not know the way to the promised land, and had it not been for God leading them, they would be lost. And they would be in the same condition that at one time you and I were in. And they would be in the same condition that most of the people that you know are in right now. You cannot expect lost people to act and do the things that saved people do. Can I hear you say amen? You cannot expect that. We had this expectation that everybody around us ought to have the same morality as we do. And I will tell you that at one time in this nation that used to be true. But my goodness, we are living in America in the 21st century. This lady come over here from Illinois telling us that they have voted in sodomite marriage in Illinois. And the governor is probably going to sign that bill. This is not the same America that we grew up in. And you cannot expect everybody around you to be following the same rules that you follow because of one thing. They are in darkness. Your neighbor, your family members, your children or your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren or anybody that it is you know, the people you work with, the people you shop with, the people that you do business with on a daily basis. These people are lost and they are in darkness and they are not going to act the way you're supposed to act. It's because they live in darkness and maybe for the most part they love darkness. They like being there. And sometimes the light shines in darkness and the darkness, what? Comprehends it not. Sometimes they just don't get it. But here's the thing. If your people that you know that are lost, if they were saved, they wouldn't need the pillar of fire by night, because Paul said that we are children of the day, not of darkness. We're living in the daytime right now. You and I have been given the light and we see how things are plainly, but they don't have it. He said in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 19, "Yet thou in thy manifold mercies forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go." You know somebody. Maybe somebody in your own family. Maybe those of us who are older, maybe you have grown children or you have grandchildren that you know are not being raised the same way that you were raised. They do not know and have as close in their heart the principles that God has given you and I from the Word of God. And so they stand in darkness, and we know the way that they should go, but we know that they're not going that way. There is blind people leading blind people in the darkness, and they are going to fall away unless something happens. And what God wants to do is, it's just like with Paul. How did Paul get saved? The light came down from heaven and shined on the Apostle Paul. That's what led him to the cross. It's not going to be any different from the people that you know and the people that you're around. Can I hear you say amen? It's not going to be any different for them. They need the light because they are in darkness. And the only people that they know who have light is you. And I didn't mean light beer either. Amen? Amen. And I'm going to talk about ways that we walk. And I want you to get this. In the Old Testament, God led Israel to an earthly promised land with one pillar of fire. Here it is, when Jesus is revealed, he has both feet that are pillars of fire too. And if you've heard me talk about this before, in the Old Testament, God led them to an earthly promised land with the law, the Old Testament. That's one pillar of fire. Right now, the Jews to this day read one book in the Bible, and that's the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. They do not have the other light to shine upon them, which is the New Covenant, the New Testament. So, number one, I just make this simple for you. If you call yourself a Bible-believing Christian, that means that you regard the Old Testament and the New Testament as all part of the same thing. God said, can two walk together except they be what? Agreed. Just by way of illustration, I'm going to show you how easy this is. I have two legs. Technically, they are the pillars that is holding me up. And if I want to walk in a certain direction, both legs have to be doing the same thing and taking me in that direction. See how easy that is? Can two walk together? So watch this now. If my brain was all messed up and I said, well, I want to go this way, and my other part of my brain said, no, I want to go that way, I'm not going to go anywhere. In fact, don't even ask you to do the splits. Four of you would have to come help me get up out of it. Amen? Young people, listen to me. Listen to your preacher. You cannot marry someone who is not following the same ideas spiritually, religiously, doctrinally that you're following. It will not work. Either you're going to go to their side or you're both going to become nothing. It will not work any other way. I always say that I lucked out, but actually I didn't. I see God's work in me. The woman that God gave me to marry, not only the same kind of Baptist I was, she was in the same church as I was. And we've never sat down and got into heated discussions, ending in slaps and cursings and everything else, over doctrine. Never have. Even when God began to work in my heart about the Bible, as God began to work in me, she was already there. She just didn't pronounce it the way I'm doing it now. But God had already prepared her. And when it comes to what's in this Bible, I guarantee you she and I walk together on this thing. I guarantee it. Now when it comes to toilet seats and this on the wall or whatever, I've learned to yield. I've learned to yield. But young people, that's my message to you today. Don't think that you're going to find some boy, hook him up, and then you'll get him right with God. Don't think that. Because it probably won't work. And you'll both be lost. Your mom and daddy don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. And I don't care if you're just 7, 8 years old listening to me. You let that stick in your heart. In fact, the younger it sticks in your heart, the better off you are. Amen. Can I get some adults to say amen? Amen. You back me up on this stuff. I'm preaching to your kids and to your grandkids. Anyway, two cannot walk together set to be agreed. And so here's what happens. In a born-again Christian's life, they are regarding the whole of Scripture as the guidebook of their life. And so let me make it like this. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is walking, He is leading you to God's heaven. And here is you. You are either going to follow with Him and walk in the same direction as He is walking. And by the way, Jesus followed the book. I'm going to quote Scripture. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Jesus didn't stray from the book. You shouldn't either. If your idea of, well, I'm going to go to God my own way, all that stuff that preacher Mike preaches, that's probably good for them old fogies sitting there, but I'm going to go to God my own way. No, you're not. You're not going to make it. If you want to walk the right way, then you get right alongside or right behind Jesus Christ and follow Him into the promised land. I guarantee you where He goes, He's the shepherd. He's going to lead the sheep right there. You decide to run out of the fold and go do it on your own, you'll burn it. Listen, the wolves are out there waiting for you. That's who. By the way, young ladies, them wolves are out there waiting for you. You older women, nod your head, say amen. You know the wolves. They're out there waiting on you. By the way, you young boys, them Jezebel hussies are waiting on every corner for you. Every corner. They're out there. Keep your eyes on the straight and narrow. Keep your eyes on the Lord, on the pillars of fire by night and the pillars of fire by day. And God will not mislead you. In fact, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. Let me just preach some verses here. Let me connect it for you. Jeremiah 23:29. God said, is not my word like as a fire? So there He's connected it right there. The pillars of fire are the word of God, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Psalm 119:105. Everybody say this verse with me. You know it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see how easy that? See how easy the Bible makes it? Now I'm going to tell you something. If you are saying, oh, I'm a Christian, oh, I'm saved, oh, I'm born again, I love Jesus, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. If you say that and your feet are carrying you in another direction, you're a liar. Amen. It's as simple as that. And the lost world knows it. This lost, dying, going to hell world knows that when they see feet walking into a tavern, they know that's not some preacher going in there for a drink or to have church meeting. They know that. They're not fooled by it. Because I'm telling you, they are watching this church. They're watching you. They're watching the outcome of your life. They couldn't care less about what flies out of me in your mouth. You know what they're watching? They're watching to see where your feet go. They're watching to see where your feet go. I hear the phone ringing. Somebody check on the internet feed or whatever. That may be why somebody's calling. I don't know. But anyway, that's they know the difference. They know what's going on in your life. When you say one thing and yet everything about you says something different, they'll be able to see it. And so what you make yourself out to be is a big old fat hypocrite in front of everybody. And they're not fooled by it. And they say, if that's all that church is and all that Bethel church stuff is, I ain't got time for it. I can live the way I am right now and be better off with God. And you know what? They're right. They're exactly right. Psalm chapter 37. Listen to this. This is about the steps that you take. The steps that you take. Psalm 37, 23. Listen to the word of God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You know what that means? That when you walk, you're following orders. Who in here has been in the military? You follow orders, don't you? Lift haste! What does that mean, Joe? Hello, haste! What does that mean? Turn around. Okay? When you walk in the military, you follow orders. You follow orders. Or either you or the person next to you is going to get your head blown off. Am I telling you the truth? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That means where you go, God told you to go, or God blessed you going there. If you turn to the left, it's because God told you to turn to the left. If you turn to the right, it's because God told you to turn to the right. If you went into this place, it's because God told you to go in that place. If you decided to walk away from that place, it's because God told you to walk away from that place. Come out from her, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. That's what he said. But if you say that you're a Christian to your lost family members, and they know where you go, you either telling them the honest truth that your steps are ordered by the Lord, or you're lying through your teeth, and they know it. You will be the reason why they burn in the lake of fire forever and ever. You know, I'm preaching this whole bunch of messages, and it's all about us not being stinking nasty hypocrites. And you know what the truth of it is? We've all got it in us. Can I get amen? So the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. There it is, the way right there. And you know what? It's not a burden for me to not go some places anymore. It doesn't bother me that I can't go here and that I can't go there and I can't do this and I can't be around this and I can't. It doesn't bother me anymore, not like it used to. The longer you live this life, you understand the sweeter as the days go by, the old song says, amen. And you delight in that way. He said, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down. Because who in here has ever tripped before? Spiritually. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I've been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Listen to the word of God, people. Give attendance to it. Psalm 37, 29. The righteous shall inherit the land. That means heaven. And dwell there in forever. So if I were to ask you who in here wants to go to heaven, you hopefully would say, amen, that's me. That's why who in here knows people that you don't want them to go to hell. Yeah, amen, preacher, that's me. He said, the righteous shall inherit the land, not the hypocrites. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. That means God, you know, I think, can't remember what it was, but he asked, God gave him hinds feet. You know what that is? You ever seen mountain goats? You ever seen a mountain goat? You ever gone to the zoo and seen a mountain goat? Their feet don't look like ours. Their feet, God made, they didn't evolve. God made their feet to be able to stand on the on rocks sideways and be comfortable with it. And God will bless you and give you feet that no matter where you're standing or what you're walking on or what you're trying to get to, God will make sure that your feet never slip. Even walking on water. God can do that one. Say amen. See, that's the steps of Peter. Psalm 56 verse 4. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest. Now listen to this now. I've already told you. There are people out there who hate the fact that you're trying to serve the Lord. Raise your hand if you know that to be true. I mean, they hate the fact that you're trying to serve the Lord. You know what they're trying to do to you? They will stop at nothing to make you crash and burn. Listen to this. Every day they rest my words. W-R-E-S-T. You know what that means? Wrestle. They're always trying to find an argument in what we're saying. Sound right so far? Always trying to prove you wrong. Always trying to get you tripped up. I've had people do it to me on my show that they try to get me tripped up. Ask me some stupid, way out of the way, bizarre question that does not even have a right answer. And I just got to where I said, you know what? I think you're trying to set me up. I'm not even taking the bait. I'm moving on. You want to know what I believe? Read John. That's what I believe. You want to know what I believe? Read Psalms. That's what I believe. Okay? But I'm telling you, they will try to wrestle with every word that you say. And they'll try to turn around and then use your words against you. By the way, husbands and wives are really good at doing that to each other. So don't ask where your teenagers got it from. Because they picked up on it. Well, that's how mom and daddy does. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. You know what that means? They're watching everything you do. When they wait for my soul. I was kind of wrestling last night on what to preach. Because as part of this, and I may do this next Sunday, I don't know. As part of this, I ended up looking at some things where people or evil people or devils are watching you and they intend on laying a snare for you to step in. They're just waiting for you to make the wrong move. Here's our problem. More than likely, we will eventually. Doesn't say it has to happen. But when it comes to me being steady and everything like that, I was out in New York and they were talking about their preacher, Brother Alex. Boy, I fell in love with him. He was a good man. Somebody said, Pastor, I mean, he's had a life that's just been the straight and narrow all the time. And I rejoice in that, I really do. But I got up and told everybody, I said, yeah, I'm kind of like this. And if it wasn't for the Word of God anchoring me to the straight and narrow, I wouldn't be here today. The only way I know how to follow the Lord is for Him to tie a leash around me and say, come on, come on, let's go. Because I'm just, who in here has ever tried to walk a wild dog? I mean, once you let them outside, they go nuts. You ever had them? Woo! They're all over the place. If it wasn't for that leash, you'd lose them, and you know it. We got a stupid dog. As soon as you let her out, she's gone. Got to keep her on a leash all the time. And you know what? I think in her nature, she likes that leash because she knows we're going to bring her back inside where the food and the warmth is. And down deep in my heart, I know, man, I could be all over the place. But I know that if I stay anchored to my Savior, He is always going to lead me down that right path. So if you see my life and you see me kind of doing like this, just remember that in the middle of all of this is that straight line, and that's the way I'm going. Okay? Anyway, but that's what you find out. They're trying to lay a trap for you. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as deserve a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish. My steps had well nigh slipped. I almost fell for it, because I was envious at the foolish. Young people, well, I'm preaching to you guys today. I love you. I'm preaching to all the young people here today, but I'm preaching to old people too. You need to listen to it. Do not be envious of how the wicked kids that you go to school with get to get by with everything and you don't. Maybe I ought to preach that for a while. I'm going to say some things. I'm probably going to make some people mad. Do not let your children go to other children's houses for overnights. Do not let your children and your teenagers go to parties. Oh, but they're chaperoned. Unless you want me to go stand 5 feet from you the whole time, you're not going. There's probably somebody here, some adult here, first taste of liquor you got was at somebody else's house. First cigarette you smoked was at somebody else's house. First Playboy you picked up was at somebody else's house. First encounter that you had was at somebody else's house. Don't let your kids go to somebody else's house. You're going to lose them. Don't let your kids go to those parties. Don't let your kids go to those school dances. I would just watch out where my kids are going. And I'm going to ask some moms and dads, because this is really where this is all at today. If your kids see you walking in a different direction on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then you walk in here on Sunday, listen, we all know that our kids end up playing the game better than we did. And they'll play it. They'll play it a lot better than you did. And their lives are going to be wrecked, full of the misery of sin and everything else in the world. And that's because you were too lazy to live God's way. Too lazy to do it. And you say, well, it doesn't really bother me. You need to understand, your kids are in the formative years. And what you've got hardened against over time, it's still fresh and new to them. And maybe I should have preached on snares and traps today, but I'm telling you, outside of your dominion over your children, there is a minefield waiting for your child to step out. You have the responsibility, and I believe that you will stand before God as your judge on the allowances that you gave to your own children. I love you. But what we have tend to taught our children... Can somebody shut that door, please? That's really bothering me. what we have taught our children. And I can tell there's a lot of working against me here. Okay? So just bear with me. What we have taught our children is to envy what the world has and to look at the world and to be like the world. Well, I don't want my kids being, you know, strange. I don't want them being picked on. Can I tell you something? When you're going to live for Christ, you will be persecuted. You're supposed to be different. So are your children. But you've worked hard to make them keep up with everybody else. It's a shame. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like the other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. And God is telling you, don't follow their steps. Don't walk their way. Psalm 119. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word and let not iniquity have dominion over me. Proverbs 16:8. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Just because my flesh wants to go another way, I have asked God, God, you direct me in the path that you want me to go. You do it for my wife's sake. You do it for my children's sake. You do it for my grandchildren's sake. You do it for your church's sake and your kingdom's sake. But God, you take over my steps and you be in charge of my life. I know my heart's wicked. I know I want to do things and go out here and go out there and just be everywhere. I know that's what I want. But I want God to be in charge of me more than anything. What would it profit me, Brady? If 10,000 people said, oh, Pastor Mike, we got saved because of your preaching. Oh, praise God for that. And my own children cursed me. What would that profit me? Now I want you to listen to this. Talking about the steps that you're supposed to take. And then you listen to me and you listen to me real good. We all know there's two paths. There's the straight and narrow that is following the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way we're supposed to be walking. Can I get you to nod your head and say amen? To admit that there are places that you and I are not supposed to walk into. I could just start naming them off. It'd take me a while. I'll let God lead you in that. You know what the worst thing that you can ever say? And especially in front of your kids. Well, I know Pastor Mike preaches that, but I don't see anything wrong with it. Worst thing you can do. You bring them to this church, and you want me to preach out of this book, and yet when you get home, you contradict what the Word of God said in front of them. They're just going to follow in your footsteps. We've already got a million churches full of people just like that. We don't need this one full of it. Amen? There's the right way and there's the wrong way. And I want you to listen how God warns about the wrong way. Young people, kids, listen to your preacher now. For the lips of a strange woman, we all know who that is, don't we? Okay? That's Oprah. Joyce, amen. Dr. Ruth, that goes way back. The lips of a strange woman, that is lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. On men, It means that we are not to be looking at other women because they're strange women. And we're not to direct our heart in that direction and go in that, and don't let your steps take you in that direction. For women, it means that you are not to be that woman. You're not to dress as that woman dresses. You're not to appear as that woman appears. You're to be, as the Bible says, submissive to your husband. You're to be those things according to the Word of God. If you want the light of the gospel, the Word of God, shining as pillars of fire in the feet that you go to, because your children are being led by that light. So we know who this is. And everybody in this room, to some degree, can get taken and pushed off to the side by the strange woman. Everybody. The lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. So you know how to fight her? With something that's sharper than a two-edged sword. Her, watch this. Now listen to me. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. There's two ways. Young people, if you got a mom and dad that's bringing you to the house of God to hear the preaching of the Word of God, you thank God for that. Who had that growing up? You had a mom and daddy took you to the house of God. Who had that growing up? God bless you. You're all the better for it, aren't you, Jimmy? If you didn't have that growing up, you know the turmoil that you faced in life in trying to get to the house of God. Am I right, John? Am I right, Gary? Almost never happened had it not been for the grace of God. You give, parents, give your kids a chance. Well, I'm going to let my children make their own choice, you fool. They'll choose hell every time. In fact, you choosed it for them. You didn't give them a choice. You chose for them. Her steps are going to lead your children to hell. And if mom and dad, if you're following those steps, they're going to follow you. Because kids will get their morality from dad. They'll get it from mom, won't they? If the preacher says, hey, it's wrong to steal, and they saw dad coming home with tools that didn't belong to him, and he picked them up, they were company tools, and he picked them up and brought them home. See, Johnny sees that. Johnny's going to grow up and be a better thief than you are at it. He's going to be lazy, and he's going to steal time and tools and money and everything else, being in prison. Moms, the daughters are watching you. And they're listening to what comes out of your mouth and where you go. They're listening to either you're saying, you know what, boy, that was a good message Pastor Mike preached. Boy, that tell you what, that Bible's right. They're listening to you. Or if they hear you scorn. My mom was very careful. When she went home, see, I grew up here. And I knew where's Sister Bernice? Did she go already? I knew that growing up here, that not everything that happened here was all hunky-dory all the time. There was little problems here and there. My mom knew better than to take her displeasures at church home with her, because there was my dad sitting with his beer watching football or out in the garden on Sunday. She knew better than to carry that stuff home. She wanted her husband to be in heaven. And bless God, he is today, right now. Because my dad watched my mom's feet. And it didn't matter if it was raining or snowing, or if she didn't like the preacher or did like the preacher. We got up. We went to Sunday school. We went to church. We came back Sunday night. We came back Wednesday night. Mom led her children to the house of God. And her children are in the house of God today because of it. See, it's all on you guys. Young people, listen to the preacher today. Don't envy the steps of everybody else. they're listening to Lady Gaga and Katy Perry, and they're going to burn in hell. Don't do it. Parents, make sure your kids are seeing the right thing. It's a big deal.